Society, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with our host, Melissa Itell Duran. She's the author of Melissa Itell Duran on Education and a funny look, comedic look at the dating scene, and that book written with Sandra Hockman by our host is called Dying to Get Under the Hoopah, A Young Woman's Journey to Finding Her Brochette. And though a couple words in there, you might not, if you don't listen to us all the time or if you haven't heard us before, you might not understand the Yiddish words. Hoopah is, I'm going to let her explain, and Bashert, I'm also going to let her explain. I know what they are, but she'll explain much better than I will. And it's a good starting point. Melissa, happy Hanukkah.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, I'm enjoying all the commercialism of my religious holiday, right? Christmas. I mean, nothing says the birth of the Christian savior more than a chubby man in a red suit with a beard that supposedly hits every house in the universe. And
right.
Yeah, you know, I never understood. I mean, did Santa Claus just knows where the Jews are or the Muslims are, and he just kind of bypasses them, and he just says to hell with them. They don't believe in Christ. You know, where exactly is the crucifix or whatever on Santa Claus's sleigh? Right, you never see that, but somehow he only seem in our pop culture to get to the Christian kids.
Yes, and he never makes a mistake. He just knows. Which apartment, which house he's passing, and, you know, if it's not a Christian one, there's no tree, he doesn't waste any time. Just leaves.
Yeah, well, Christmas and the holiday that starts, and again, it almost starts, you almost hear Christmas music right after Halloween. I heard my first song on November 1st. It is so commercialized. Hanukkah hasn't gotten there yet, but what do you think about the commercialization of Christmas?
Well, you know, it's here to stay. I don't think it's going to change. I think we're more commercialized than Europe is. I've been to other countries, and although, yes, people, you do see people rushing here and there with things in their hands and last-minute preparations. I think we go overboard here. I think they take Europe takes their holidays more seriously than we do. And here, I mean, if you were a visitor from Mars, you would think the whole holiday is about, you know, which gift are you getting? Which deal did you get? And is it on time?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that Hanukkah, and by the way, I am all for the commercialization in some sense. I know it gets aggravating, but if it stimulates the economy, that helps Jews, Muslims, Christians, yes, born-again Christians, non-born-again Christians, whatever, Catholics, right, and Protestants, whoever. It helps the economy. It's a good thing. They have something called a Santa Claus rally at the stock market.
Really?
You've heard of that?
No, actually. I guess I haven't been out much.
Well, it's a stock rally. I know it because, I had a guest on one of my shows. He talked about the Santa Claus rally at the stock market. And what basically people start buying because they get, you know, their Christmas bonuses, they start buying stocks, or they start seeing, I'm dating myself here, but and you'd have to ask somebody from the older generation, Melissa, what a Cabbage Patch doll is. But a Cabbage Patch doll, you know, like somebody might buy the mother company of that, you know, back then, or the Tickle Me Elmo when that was a big deal. And they might say, oh, who's that, Hasbro or whatever the heck makes the...
But they still have Tickle Me Elmo, and Cabbage Patch dolls are actually now, they're relics, but they are items of curiosity. And if you want to buy one for, you know, for old time's sake, or you want to bring in something that nobody else is going to buy, you can find a Cabbage Patch doll.
Well, yeah, and certainly with eBay. And by the way, eBay and all of these sites, I I would have to believe that that they get this Santa Claus rally type thing going too, right? Well, obviously people are buying, you know, buying all types of gifts. Why not off of eBay and why not off of Amazon? I'm sure they do great around Christmas time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, you can get last minute gifts, and I literally mean last minute, delivered the day of from Amazon, maybe some other places too. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Let me remind folks once again, you are listening to the Melissa Eitel-Joren Show here with me, Frank McKay, and Melissa Eitel-Joren, dying to get under the hoopah, a young woman's journey to finding her beshared. Now, I know what those words mean, and the words I'm talking about is hoopah. Hoopah is the little tent that the bride and the groom at a Jewish wedding traditionally stand under with the rabbi. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's the wedding canopy. Sometimes the ushers or the best man or some or close male friends, relatives will hold the poles that round the canopy. Sometimes not. Sometimes the canopy is just adorned with flowers. It rises overhead, and it doesn't have to be held by poles. It's stationary, and it's very elaborate. It can be decorated in all different kinds of ways, usually with flowers, and that's where the bride and groom and the immediate family members all stand. But basically on the spotlight you see the bride and groom and the rabbi who generally officiates at weddings, although these days, you know, with all kinds of arrangements that people have, you may see two clergymen. You may see a rabbi and a priest, or a rabbi and a reverend, or a Buddhist monk and a rabbi.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. All right, so that's the hoopah. You're under the hoopah, yes, with the rabbi, and hopefully the two people that aren't clergy under there are standing next to their beshared. Is that safe to say? We would hope that they'd be standing next to their beshared.
Yes, we would hope so, with perhaps flanked by their parents, their respective parents.
And the beshared would be intended one.
Your soulmate. He was intended for you by God and other higher ups.
Is it only masculine? Is beshared a masculine term, or are you your husband's beshared?
Oh yes, you are each other's beshared, and you can say that the event was beshared. It was meant to be.
Very interesting, and that's Yiddish for those Yiddishly challenged, and I'll put myself in that category.
But you're pretty good. You've got it down. I mean, you've really got it down to a science. And it sounds so. You've got the pronunciation. It's great.
Well, that's from doing a show with you for all this time. And you know, the two terms I hear, and I might mispronounce the terms, but the terms that I hear in the political world are maca and quasi maca. Am I pronouncing them right?
Maha. Yeah.
And
yeah.
What I was told is that you are now, you know, like if you get elected to something big and you're going to have influence or power, and I remember an elderly Jewish man said, now you are now a macha. He said, yes. And hope one day I believe you will be a quasi macha. Now, am I pronouncing that right?
I didn't know that you had different degrees of macha-ness.
Yeah, quasima.
Now that I know.
Yeah. Well, what I was told is that a macha is a big shot, and a quasimacha is a super big shot. You know, this is a, you know, real big shot. But these words are used, and for the most part, I would say that they haven't spread into, some have, certainly they're words that we hear all the time, and use terms that we use all the time that come from Yiddish vocabulary. But the Jewish community in so many ways is in its own world. And I say that in the most respectful way, because they pass it on to generation and everything else. And last week we spoke about this. We spoke about, well, what is out there about Hanukkah? What is out there about the Jewish religion? What indicates the way of life for a Jewish man or a Jewish woman or a Jewish family, and one of the things that came up was Seinfeld, and it took a little time before you actually did that, but Even on Seinfeld, you don't learn about Hanukkah. You don't learn about, like, what it's all about. And I'll remind people once again, Melissa Eitel-Joran is the voice you will be hearing in about a second explaining this, hopefully, because she will be much better at explaining Hanukkah than me, Frank McKay, her co-host here. But Melissa is a wife, a mother, a dancer, an educator, a radio show host, of course, an author, novelist, and soon to be coming out with a third book. And Melissa, tell us what we need to, the least we need to know about Hanukkah.
Okay, well, to begin with, Seinfeld is actually not the definitive guide to Judaism. It's more of a New York story with characters who had nothing much to do anyway. And and there was a little bit of a Jewish twist to it because, we assume that Jerry was Jewish and Elaine was Jewish. I don't know about George. I don't think he was. And the other sidekick, I don't know what, I can't say.
Kramer. Yeah, we don't know what he was.
Yeah, who knows? But anyway, they all lived in New York, and they were typical New Yorkers, and there was there were Jewish undertones, but it was purely from a cultural standpoint. You know, Hanukkah, and you probably know more about Hanukkah than you think. Hanukkah, the reason why we light a menorah, we don't have a tree, is because we're commemorating days when the miracle of light occurred. Back in the time when the Jews were under oppression, and the Greeks, who ran most of the world at that time, where the Jews were living, refused to honor Jewish traditions. And in fact, it was like living in Nazi Germany. It was a crime to study Jewish law. And that's where you get the Maccabees. And they were the fighters. They were the freedom fighters who went against the side of history. They didn't want to assimilate into Hellenic civilization, and when it came to lighting the temple's lights, there was very little oil, and it was doubtful they'd even make it. So the miracle of Hanukkah is having enough oil that actually lasted 8 days, that you could use for 8 days. So hence we have the menorah, we light eight candles, we light a candle for each night, we have a middle candle that lights each day's night's candles, and we're commemorating that. We're commemorating freedom in the eye of the oppressor, and there are a lot of other things that people don't forget when they come to this time of the year, because they think it's all about getting a gift every day, every 8 days. Well, for children it may be. But for adults, the meaning is more about having that freedom to put your menorah, light your menorah, and display it in your window, and proudly say, well, my holiday is Hanukkah. I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I'm celebrating Hanukkah. My neighbor may be celebrating Kwanzaa, which is a totally different holiday.
Yeah, I know nothing about Kwanzaa. I will say, though, I knew that story, but I don't know that everybody does. What I heard about the Maccabees is that they were heroic figures. They were very, very strong-willed, and they were determined, and that they were not going to allow anybody to stop them from celebrating their choice in religion and their way of life, and that's accurate, right? I mean, they're considered this heroic group of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. Having said that, I mean, Kwanzaa, forget it. I don't know anything about Kwanzaa. What can you tell us about the first time you're hearing about Hanukkah? Did it come up in Hebrew school? Did it come up by your parents explaining to you? And do you get a lesson each? It's a different light each day, right? You light a different candle on the menorah for each day of Hanukkah. Is that accurate?
Well, there are different, the color candles. So one day you may use a blue candle, another day maybe a white candle. But for each day, the candles accumulate. So for the first night, you have the middle candle, which lights the first night's candle. And then for the second night, you light those candles from the previous night plus the new candle for that night.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. And is it a happy time? Is it a solemn time? It is not exactly Christmas. It is not exactly Jewish Christmas. It just happens to fall on the same area. Is that accurate to say?
Yes, this year it happens to coincide
right,
with
right.
Christmas. Steve. Yeah, some year, you know, I think it was a year or two ago, actually, was it 2 years ago? I don't recall, when we had Hanukkah come right on the heels of Thanksgiving. And there were some, you know, unique twists to that. I forget what they said. They took Hanukkah and Thanksgiving and made it one name. And it, and that was significant because it had parallel references to the pilgrims and their religious struggles. But, yeah, it is a happy time. We do say prayers. There are prayers, and there are songs that that are sung. And, yes, there's the gift-giving. There's a game with the dreidel. The dreidel is the spinning top with the Hebrew letters. And there's a game of dreidel that, that a lot of children still play, and they win they win points, which they can be used to earn what we call gelt or money. And parents give some parents give money or gelt as gifts for, you know, for a portion of the holiday or maybe each day of the holiday. So it is a happy time, and it's not supposed to mirror Christmas. You know, I mean, we respect everyone's holiday, but we don't try to copy the other holiday.
Do you know anything about Kwanzaa whatsoever? I have to say, and I'm ashamed.
I don't.
I don't know anything about Kwanzaa. No. It is a holiday, and I'm guessing, I could be completely wrong, but I believe its origins are in Africa. Is that accurate?
I suppose so. Again, don't quote me on it because I don't know that much about it. I'm happy to see that there are greeting card sections devoted to Kwanzaa, that Hallmark is bringing it out, but I don't know very much about it. They do light some a lamp that looks very much like a menorah, but it's not a menorah.
Yeah. No, it is very interesting when you see these different customs and when they blend, and maybe no better place do they blend then in New York City. Frank McKay with Melissa Itell-Joran on the Melissa Itell-Joran Show. And I have to say, there is nothing like New York City for the holidays. And you could walk past Macy's window, and then you could walk past a menorah display, and you could, I've seen Kwanzaa displays, and again, I still can't tell you what they are, and I say that with the greatest respect. I just don't know much about Kwanzaa. But there is nothing like New York City at Christmas time. It's other than the cold, and I guess that's part of it too. I mean, when there's a little bit of snow on the ground, and you know, people flock to see the tree. It's a destination. You know, I don't know how long you could sit there and look at a tree, but you know, people do it. The Rockettes, the Christmas show. And I have to believe that there are people of all religions going to these things. I mean, have you ever gone to a Christmas event? Have you ever gone to see the Rockettes with the Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, we went. In fact, we went to see the Rockettes two holidays ago, holiday seasons ago. I was thinking, gee, it would be nice to go again. I love that show. I haven't seen the tree in many years. It, you know, as you said, it's a tourist attraction, big time. There's a big menorah lighting. Tomorrow night there'll be a big menorah lighting at one of the parks, and there are menorah lightings all over the city and in the five boroughs. So yeah, I mean, everywhere you go, there is some holiday theme. Whether it be lights or figurines or attractions, there's some kind of reminder about what's going on. You can't escape it. You know what's going on. I mean, we're not in a, you know, a small town out in the Midwest somewhere. We're in a metropolis, and there are so many different people, and we are a melting pot.
You know, I can't remember the last time that I missed the first day of Hanukkah, a menorah lighting. This is the first time I could remember that it happened on Christmas Eve. Usually I go to my friend's, Avi Gavili's temple in Staten Island, and I'll even give a little speech, and there's photo ops, and there's political people there. It's an event, and there's beautiful food there, and Miss Staten Island comes, and she helps light the menorah, and then the borough president. It's nice. It's a very, very nice thing. There's no way I'm, in all due respect to them, they're great. There's no way I'm going to brave that traffic Staten Island traffic on Christmas Eve, and I'm going to go to a local temple out here, and I'll go with some friends and just be there for the menorah lighting. It is a nice event, and if you haven't been to one, listeners, you know, go. It is a very, very joyous event, very, very nice event. And it's I would say it's even more subdued than the lighting of the Christmas tree is almost like New Year's Eve. You know, it's like, wow, we've never seen a Christmas tree like that. You know, it's a big explosion of whatever, and it's joyful, but it's very respectful too. The menorah lighting is usually very I would say understated. Is that accurate?
I would say so, yes, because you know, we just don't have the pomp and pageantry. We're not going to get the celebrities to start singing Rock of Ages.
That's right. Well, listen, you had a big hit on Broadway with Rock of Ages. Unfortunately, it had nothing to do with the Jewish religion. And well, listen, it's a wonderful time for all of us, but it is nice to find out about some other cultures and in and around New York City. And I know there are people listening to us all over, and not just in areas where there are a lot of Jewish folks, but there are areas around the country. How much traveling have you done around the country? Have you done the Midwest or the South? You don't see a lot of temples around.
Well, I've been in the South. I've been out west. I've been to Las Vegas, but not. I haven't. I've been to Paris during Christmas, so I can talk from experience of what Christmas time looks like in the City of Lights. I don't recall what was going on in Vegas during Christmas. I'm sure it was all bling and lights and all kinds of things. But it's more secular. And down south, depending on where you are, yes, it's quiet, and they do have festivities. And if there happens to be a Jewish community, you will see a small gathering for the holiday. But it depends where you are. I mean, every place has its own way of celebrating, and it doesn't have to be as grand as New York. It can be much smaller and still be very tasteful.
You know, I say the South as if Florida is not as South as you can get in the country. But I don't consider, when I say the Deep South, I'm not talking about Florida, because to me, Florida, I'm on a lot of stations in Florida, and I love the folks in Florida. But I think of Florida as kind of New York South. You know what I mean? There's so many New Yorkers and Long Islanders there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not what I consider this. When I talk about the South, I talk about, again, and I'm not disparaging them by any means whatsoever, but you think more of Southern Baptist and you hear the Christian right and everything else, and you think of Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama and Arkansas,
right, exactly,
and Tennessee and different places like that. But Florida is a land all its own. And you will see plenty of menorahs in Florida and Vegas too. There's a large Jewish community in Vegas.
Yes, there is. People don't realize there is. And I mean, there's a whole life outside the casino. People send their kids to school. They live out there. They don't live in the casino. They're not in the midst of the whole thing. They can see the casinos from their window, but they have their own life and their own communities. And there's a Lubavitch chapter over there.
Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting as we do it. How do you plan on spending the holiday?
Oh, I just nothing over the top. Very understated. I think at this point of the year, and just this year happens to be a very tiring one. I think we just want to collapse. And
that's
nice. Mark the holiday, mark Hanukkah, the best we can, and just collect our breath and regenerate for January. And hopefully this will be a better year. I think 2016 was a particularly trying year.
Yeah, for a lot of people. Listen, I know you're battling a little back problems, and hopefully that gets better in 2017 as well.
Thank you very much.
Well, we still have more shows before at least another show before the new year, I believe. And Melissa Eitel-Joran, thrilled to be here with her, co-piloting her show each and every week. Melissa Eitel-Joran on the Melissa Eitel-Joran Show. Melissa, thank you again, and happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, Frank, and a very Merry Christmas to you and your family, your wife, your children, and all your friends and your pet. You have a little dog.
Yeah,
right?
Couple dogs. We have two dogs
couple
and
dogs.
Five cats.
Ugh. And they got
five, and they're separated. We have a little apartment for them, and they're blocked off from the rest of the house. We intermingle very nicely with them. They have a lot of room back there, but they're secluded from the rest of the house, so it's not a cat house,
all right,
so to speak.
That's
but
great.
And to all the listeners, from Melissa, her family, my family, we want to wish you all a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, is it? Is it Merry Kwanzaa? And again, I'm not disparaging.
No, I guess it's Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa from both Melissa and I. Thank you all for listening each and every week. We encourage you to binge listen. Enjoy your holidays, everyone. Safe and happy holidays.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Duran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.